So what you have on the screen now is basically the framework of the export control and economic sanctions regime. We have on the top left-hand side of, as you're looking at the slide, that is the Commerce Department's purview, commercial and dual-use exports. The clicker that I have here would fit within that regime. My glasses, most of the stuff, hopefully all of the stuff in your briefcase or your purse are going to fit within that regime. The statute there is the Export Control Act. The regulations that implement that act are the Export Administration Regulations, and the Commerce Department and a group within Commerce called the Bureau of Industry and Securities administers that regulation. Separately, if you stay on the top of the chart and you move to the right, those are munitions exports. In this country, we have had a history of munitions type of technologies being developed with DOD and government money, and then over time being commercialized and having commercial applications. We're seeing in the self-driving world, a lot of the technologies that are being used were born as military technologies. But if something is a military technology and has not been widely commercialized, it is subject to the Arms Export Control Act. Under that act, there's an International Traffic in Arms Regulations, what we hear of as the ITAR, and the Department of State and a group within the Department of State called the Directorate of Defense Trade Controls is the group that administers that set of regulations. Those at the top are the two regulations when you're sending an article out of the United States or you're providing technology to a foreign person. You see at the bottom of the screen is the economic sanctions regime. That's run by the Treasury Department, a group at Treasury called the Office of Foreign Asset Control, okay? There are a number of statutes that they draw on to establish economic sanctions. One is Trading with the Enemies Act. The Cuba sanctions, for instance, were born under that act. The other act, which is a predominant act being used today for new sanctions activity, is the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, IEPA. And in every case, virtually every case, when a sanction regime is implemented, it starts with an executive order issued by the president invoking one of these statutes, implementing a sanction, and then often calling for regulations. You see all the sanction regulations that have been published are at 31 CFR. You can go there and you can find any sanction regulation for any program. Moving on, one of the fundamental principles that is important, particularly in the technology area, is important is who's a U.S. person and who's a foreign person. And this is important because you're allowed to share technology with a U.S. person without it being an export. You are not allowed to share controlled technology with a foreign person unless you have authorization under the applicable export control regulations. Who's a U.S. person? Any U.S. citizen, any lawful permanent resident, somebody with a green card. And then you have a number of other categories, including entities that are authorized to do incorporated in the U.S. and doing business here, and then governmental entities. Who's not a U.S. person and then is a foreign person? That bullet at the bottom is the important one to keep in mind when you're talking about technology companies. There are a number of employees who are not green card holders. They have a visa and a right to work in the United States, but they would be considered foreign persons. If they're a foreign person, an export license needs to be obtained before controlled technology is exchanged with that foreign person. And we'll talk a little bit about that concept as we move forward into the slide deck. Now we're going to take, if you remember back to that slide with the three blocks, we're taking the two at the top, the export control regimes, the EAR, the Export Administration Regulation, and the ITAR, the International Traffic in Arms Regulations. And as we do that, it's important to note who has to comply with these laws and regulations. Any individual in the United States, whether they're a U.S. person or not, must comply with our export control laws and regulations. Any U.S. citizen, wherever they are, any lawful permanent resident must comply. And This bottom bullet is important because non-U.S. companies and persons abroad who receive controlled U.S. products and technologies must also comply with our export control regulations. These regulations are somewhat unique in that they, for lack of a better way to put it, they attach to the product. So if a controlled product is licensed and exported out of the United States legally, it's exported to a particular end user. The controls and the jurisdiction of the United States government in these regulations stay with the product. If that authorized end user is going to resell or retransfer that product, they must come back to BIS if it's a commercial or dual use item, or to the State Department Directorate of Defense Trade Controls if it's a munitions list item. The control stays, the regulations stay with these controlled products when they are abroad. It's not the case if the product is not controlled for export. So, for instance, my glasses, if I send my glasses to a foreign person, I've made an export, it's fine. No license is required for those glasses. No license is required for that person to retransfer those glasses. But if it is controlled technology where a license is required, that control continues to attach when the product is outside the United States. What is subject to the EAR? What exports are subject to the EAR?